All right, let's pray. God, we thank you that you are God of all that we do, all that we say, all the places we go, all of the things that happen. And because you are Lord of all, then that means that we get the opportunity to make decisions about our life. Better, different, accordingly, because you're in charge. That takes a lot of pressure off of us because we don't have to run everything, but it also puts responsibility on us to make sure that we do things in a way that honor you. And so once again this morning, Heavenly Father, as we wrap up our conversation from the past few weeks, I pray that you would be a part of it and remind us of just the importance of making every decision of our life a spiritual one, and how if we will do that, that changes everything. And so take this time, bless it, use it for your glory and good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good morning. We're going to finish up this morning our series entitled Followers, Faith, and Facebook. We have been, for the last couple of weeks, talking about a couple of things. We laid some big principles down early on. The first one was simply this. In dealing with social media, dealing with internet, you want to honor God, okay? And that's kind of a given every ever life. But we talked about that. We're not going to go back over that. You can listen again. Honor others. In other words, remembering what it is that you exist for. And sometimes as followers, we need to be reminded of this a lot. Because we become so self-centered in our lives. We really do believe life is about us. It's not. It's about others. God leaves you here to bless others. And he leaves you here to further his kingdom's work. So if that is the case, and it is, then guess what? It's not about you. It's about him, and it's about them. And so in social media world, somehow we've disconnected from that, but we can't. And then we said, honor yourself, but if you're following Jesus, then you're going to be honoring God. And it comes back around full circle. We also talked about the fact that when you go online, you don't take your relationship with Jesus offline. And that really is important to remember when you're online and moving through social media. And learning to ask yourself the questions, is what I'm posting, is what I'm putting online, is it increasing my influence for the kingdom? Or does it have the potential to decrease my influence for the kingdom? Because if we put that filter over everything that we do, then what we do online in that online world is just as important and just as real as the real world. And again, we talked about the struggle of how it is for followers that we've developed this distinct online personality. And we talked about those. We talked about all the personality types that are out there and how if you are a social media user at all, you jump in and out of those. But to make sure that you're living in a way online that honors God just like you do in the real world that you find yourself in every day. Okay, so that's kind of where we've been. Last week, we talked about some of the challenges that we face, and we actually moved all the way through, and we got to these questions where we actually gave you an opportunity to rate yourself to see if you had a Facebook social media addiction. And we talked about that scale and what you do about that and how that works. I said to you last week that when we get to the end of that, as we looked at each challenge, we talked about how do you balance that challenge out with some real positive ways to kind of turn that and make that something good for you. And one of the things I suggested to you last week is that we wrap this thing up. I was going to ask you to ponder, and I gave you a whole week to think about it, about going on a social media fast. And I know some of you did that before, but I suggested that might be a good way to kind of wrap this up. And so here's, let me lay it out for you and tell you what I would like to challenge you to do. You have to decide whether you're going to do it. As we've been talking about this, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some other stuff this morning, we have laid out the need for wisdom. I haven't laid out the evils of the internet. I haven't laid out the evils of Facebook. I haven't laid out the evils of social media because it's a tool. And it can be used for good and for God's glory, or you can let it get control of your life and tank your life. The issue is, can you control it without it controlling you? And so here's the challenge I have for you. And I know that there are going to be some, some in parentheses moments with this challenge. Please forgive me. But I'm going to ask you, starting today, right now, immediately, to go on a Facebook social media fast. Now, Are there exceptions to that? Well, for some of you, there are. Because for some of you, it has a lot to do with the business world that you're in. And for some of you, you have some business obligations that have to be taken care of in Facebook and social media. I fall into that category. Okay. Make sure you limit it to that. So no posting pictures of Aunt Bertha's birthday party. No great little political little bumper sticker that you've seen somewhere that you want to share with all your friends. No picture of dancing elephants or, clowns piling out of a clown car or some witty T-shirt saying. None of that. Simply just step back. And as you step back, take these next couple of days and ask God to help you make sure that you honor God, you use what you do in social media to bless others, and you keep very much on focus about the fact that what you're doing is you're using it to further the kingdom, not just become, just a social media hog, for lack of a better term. And remember, if you were here with us, if not, it's online. Last week we kind of talked about some of the things that we've got to remember as you kind of move through social media, where it can get out of balance. We'll talk a little bit more about those today. Go on a fast. Stay off of it, starting today. And you say, but wait, I need to tell my friends I'm disappearing. No, you don't. Just disappear for a few days. Just disappear. Don't go lurking. Don't go stalking. Don't go checking to see if they even miss you. Now, when you sign back on, you may find out that they did not miss you. And don't feel bad about that, because here's the reality. They're not your friends. I told you this before. Facebook friends are not real friends. Your real friends are friends. And you know them. Facebook followers aren't necessarily friends. Twitter followers are definitely not friends. So just disappear. Don't warn them, just disappear. Reappear. Here's the deal. It's a holiday week. Reappear on Thursday. So it's not even a whole week I'm asking you for. Reappear on Thursday, but here's the deal on Thursday. If you reappear, make everything that you post, everything that you share, even responses from those who might have missed you and tried to reach out to you and said, are you dead? What has happened to you? You're usually on 18 hours a day. I haven't seen you for four. Make sure all of your responses back have to do with things that you're thankful for, blessings God's given you, and make them all a Thanksgiving focus the whole day. Then on Friday, you can resume your life on social media under the with the idea, though, that you're honoring God, others, and you're following Him with a passion, and you're setting yourself up to kind of look at it in a more wholesome, healthy, more spiritual way. Okay? That is the challenge. We talked about this last week. I said, start thinking about it all week. I said it was going to be a week. I didn't even make it a week. It's simply just a few days to step back. And instead of using the time that you would spend online for non-productive things, do some of the suggestions we offered last week. It's an amazing time to reconnect with God. It's an amazing time to pray. It's an amazing time to spend time in His Word. It's an amazing time to reach out to real friends, real people, develop some real relationships, and allow those to kind of be something that God will bless and take in your life and strengthen. And then when you come back online, then make sure you keep your focus timely. So if you're a tweeter, then all your tweets are going to have a hashtag Thanksgiving on there. Hashtag thanks. Everything that you talk about that day. If it's Facebook, everything needs to be about what you're thankful for. In other words, honor God and put the view that people have of you back on the Father. And then step away from that and let's see what Facebook looks like. And we're moving to the holidays, so it's a great time to be able to do it. Just make sure that you're wise in the things that you post. Make sure that you're meaningful and thoughtful in the things that you post. And as we move toward Christmas, it gives you a great opportunity to share some things. And along the way, too, you'll be actually doing some things that really are some positive ministry kinds of things. And so, again, embrace the moments and roll with that. Okay? That's the challenge. I'm not going to ask you how many of you are going to do it. I'm going to assume you'll all do it. Because I'm an idiot. But anyway, I will assume that many of you will do it because you love Jesus and there is a need for it. If you go through these questions, like we talked about last week, and you start looking at these questions and some of these really do summarize how you feel, then you really do need to step back and unplug and maybe a little bit longer than that, but let's just go with the few days we talked about, okay? All right, that's where we've been. Before we start landing this plane, any questions or answers that I can offer you that might kind of wrap up some of these things before we get there? Because this is the last day, so I want to make sure that if there's something lingering, we can cover it, or I can give you some dumb response. Nothing, absolutely nothing. I know a couple of you I've responded to online, because you're supposed to. All right, nothing? All right. Cool. Then let's pick up and let's go with some newer stuff today. I've shared with you last week that, because social media exploded like it did, and we looked at the stats the very first week, our culture, global culture, adopted social media faster than it's adopted any other thing, phenomena, fad, but it's no longer a fad. I mean, it's a part of our culture. It was adopted quicker than anything else that's come along that we can kind of track when you look at electronic kind of stuff. When we look, remember, if you were with us, we looked at, radio, telephone, TV, internet, Facebook. I mean, we looked at kind of that explosive, how quick we became adopters. One of the things that happens to us, and it's interesting, is it reminds us again that we really can change. And we can change rapidly if we need to. So often we talk about spiritual transformation and we talk about people changing spiritually and Jesus changing them from the inside out. And while the Bible teaches us that and we talk about that often, folks are resistant to that because we have convinced ourselves we can't change spiritually, but yet we can change in every other area of our life. This is one of those times where social media becomes a great example of our ability to adapt and change. And so for us, changing, and that argument that we often use that I just can't change, this is just how I am, that's just not true. It doesn't hold water. It doesn't hold weight. You can change. You can change, and you can change rapidly. And you adapt to things rapidly, much more rapidly than we want to give ourselves credit for. And because we are people who are always changing, then however we deal with Facebook, social media, whatever that your favorite social media is, you can change and become a very dynamic follower in the world of social media. And I mean that in the healthiest sense. I mean representing God. It can be done. So I'm not about to sit here and tell you that you ought not to be on Facebook. Now, let me put that in parentheses as well. Some of you ought not to be. Because you haven't got to the point where you figured out how to do it yet. And so you need to be wise. And some of you will struggle with it more than others. Just like anything else that you struggle with, that a good thing that can become bad, some of you just need to be wiser. Some of you have no great inclination to be heavily involved in social media. It's just not your thing, and that's fine. And this is an easy conversation for you. You like the fact that I'm picking on something that doesn't bother you. That's great. I got that. That's the world of church. Again, this is just like any other area of our life. I mean, and it doesn't have to be sin. It's not sin in and of itself. It just is what it is. And you have to figure out how you're going to relate to that. So let me kind of continue on today and show you some goofy stuff. Because another study that was released indicated that social media might be driving you nuts. Social media can drive you nuts and make you wackier than normal, which is a horrible thing. Because for some of us, when we take him into our life, we are wacky enough. I mean, I look at my life and, I got plenty of ticks and plenty of quirks, and so I don't need something else driving me over the edge. Social media can do that. The reason that it does that is FOMO, fear of missing out. FOMO. It's a part of the lexicon now. It is a part of what happens. People go crazy in social media because once they get involved, there is a fear, and it's a real fear, that they are missing something if they're not connected. Fear of missing out. For some of you, if you go on a four-day Facebook fast or a social media fast, whatever you're going to fast from, you will experience FOMO. There will be a fear that you're missing out on something, that you ought to be a part of somehow, that somehow something's happening and you're not connected, that you're disconnected. And let me put this out there, too. If Facebook, and people tell me this all the time, Facebook is how we communicate. Got it. It's convenient. It's great. But if Facebook is the only way you can communicate and you're doing it now to that and you're exclusive with Facebook and nothing else, you're not a good communicator. Well, I put it on Facebook, you should have known. If it's important, you should have got a hold of people. It just means you're not a good communicator. And that is one of the dangers of social media. It has limited, it's put a cap on our ability to communicate. And so if it's only social media that you're using, and while that can be very effective, no doubt, it is not the best way. And what also happens is that everybody you know really isn't on social media. And so if there's some message, there's some thought, there's some process that needs to be put out there, and it really is important, it has value, you've got to work to make sure that people know and find and get the information that you think is important for them to have. If not, you're not a good communicator. And you have to own that. Social media, as wonderful as it might be, has really put a damper on our ability to communicate. And in some ways has tried to create shortcuts for us when it comes to communication. I have people say to me all the time, well, you should have known it was on Facebook. Well, we're already on the record of, you know, how effective that is for me. Okay, that's great. Well, I didn't know. But the other thing I will say back, if it was really important and you're upset, I'll say, but it wasn't important enough for you to call me. And you could have. Well, you know, I didn't have time for that. Well, and neither did any other friends either. I mean, it becomes one of those things where we've got to make sure that we keep a balance in here because, again, we don't want to miss out on anything, and you don't want people to miss out on things that they need to know. And so for us as followers, it really does fall on us. There's a responsibility to communicate. Let me tell you how this works in church world because, again, part of what we do, and we hear this, and it's hard to grade. This is something that we constantly work on. We print a worship flyer every week to give you information. You know what happens on Sunday afternoon when you all leave? We pick up the 30 that were left. You know what happens if we don't print one? We will get griped at 30 times because we don't have a worship flyer. So, does it cost to print? Yes. Does it take time? Yes. Does it take work? Yes. Does it take, you know, is it a labor to put something out like that every week? Yes. It doesn't just happen. It's not quick. It's not a quick process. And then you want it to look a certain way. I mean, you do want a certain look with things your name goes on. And so we put it to you that way to try to give you information. Some of you have your worship flyer from last week. Some of you don't. Some of you can't remember it. Some of you can't remember the announcement that was in it. But we're trying to get you information. Okay? When you sit in here prior to worship, for 15 minutes solid, screens are going to rotate that give you upcoming announcements and things that you might want to be aware of. Why? Because we think that there might be a moment that you might glance at a screen and see something that might go, oh, wait, I need to know that. Now, is it written in the worship flyer? Probably so. But we're not going to assume you read it in the worship flyer. Hopefully you're going to take a look at the screen. Usually, when Richard gets up, and it's usually, I mean, it will change a little bit, we will feature one announcement. One particular announcement that we want to use in that moment to draw your attention to for the upcoming week. One announcement. On purpose. We actually plan this, by the way, that we're targeting one announcement that Richard will give. Now, you know through the years we've done it a variety of ways, but here's our conclusion. The reason that Leanne comes up at the end of the day and will make announcements is because for some of you, we have figured out the trend of this place. If you don't hear it the last thing before you walk out the door, you will not get it. Even though it has been written, it has been visual for you, we've emphasized one, we'll emphasize more with the slides again, and on top of that, we post some things by way of schedule to Facebook and a weekly e-letter that goes out, which contains the same information that we're putting in the worship flyer. Now, so you start adding up, how many times have you heard the announcement that you might need, and yet we will hear on a weekly basis, oh, I didn't know anything about that. I know you're doing that. Nobody told us. That's the nature of communication. That's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of ministry. But here's the dirty little truth about that. And we're all guilty of it. at some point you do have to own responsibility for getting the information that's been put out there. Is it available? Yes. Did you have it in your hands? Yes. Did you read it? Oh. Did it go from reading it to hit your calendar? No. I mean, there's a moment that you have to take responsibility. That's how communication works. And so when you think about it, I mean, we are looking right now, and we'll see what the days ahead hold. I mean, we are actually looking right now at trying to tap into a way to use an app to get you announcements as well. And how cool will that be, right? No. You know why? Because it's one more thing on top of the things we're already doing. See, we don't get to drop anything off. We said, well, let's go with an app, and we'll go all electronic. We will quit printing a worship flyer. You know what? For the reasons I just told you, that doesn't work. Because everybody's not gone electronic. Everybody doesn't communicate that way. There are some people that will diligently take notes on the back page, and they'll write and put things in, and they'll actually tuck that in their Bible, read it through the week. So it's one more thing that we'll add to what we do to try to communicate, again, what we're communicating in a number of different ways. It's the nature of communication. And so understand, social media doesn't replace anything. It adds to. If in your life social media has replaced an avenue of communication, you need to step back and reevaluate how you communicate. It is just one more tool, one more arrow in the quiver, one more thing that you can use. And anybody that you communicate with, you've got to figure out if they are important to you, if they have value to you, you've got to figure out the best way to communicate to them. And if they don't have value to you, then don't do it. I mean, if you don't give a rip whether they know or not, then forget it. But there are people, and you know people in your world too, that if you need to get a message to them, you know when you think of them, what is the best way to get a hold of them? What is the way they're going to respond to? And for some of them, there's multiple ways to get in and out. But again, if you know them, you'll figure out what those multiple ways are. You'll try to get a word to them best you can, and you'll go from there. That's the way it works. And so for social media, it is one more resource that you can use so you don't miss out on anything, because we live in a world where people have a fear of missing out on something. And if you get so involved in social media, it will drive you crazy for a number of reasons. Let me show them to you. For example, although in the world of Pinterest, while it's really cool, and we told you 80% of women use it. I used a picture here. Someone has said how to make Cookie Monster cupcakes, and then the one at the bottom did the same thing and said they nailed it. What happens in Pinterest is, if you look at the picture, it's kind of goofy. Pinterest actually has gotten some people who have gotten too involved in social media, they now have a fear of domestic inadequacy. In other words, they can't measure up to the Martha Stewarts of the world that are knocking it out of the park. They can't keep up with the Rachel Rays. They can't keep up with the Cookie Monster cookies. I mean, what happens is that if you're not healthy and you get involved in social media, then social media becomes a moment where you start comparing and looking and evaluating yourself against the people that are out there. And here's the deal. We've already looked at the social media personalities. They're probably lying to you. I mean, if you don't really know them, I guarantee they're lying to you. But one of the risks, and of course, we've tried to make the humorous part of it is, but one of the risks of social media can simply be that you start measuring yourself, your life, your adequacy against somebody else. And by doing so, you begin to discover that you don't measure up. And you feel like that there's an enormous gap between what others can do and what you can do. And the key word in that was you feel like. And when you feel like that there's an enormous gap or there's an enormous shortcoming that you have, what happens? Well, it makes you feel worse about yourself. And so although you're connected, you're miserable. And it drives you nuts. Because you've allowed social media to create a feeling. And the feeling is inadequacy. You don't measure up. Let me give you some brilliant spiritual news, just in case you ever wondered about this. You don't measure up. Write down your notes. I don't measure up and I am inadequate. Good for you. Your adequacy, your value, and your worth come from Jesus Christ, and it doesn't come from anywhere else. And if you're drawing it from anywhere else, you're going to be feeling awfully bad. Your value comes from God because you don't measure up. You're inadequate. That's it. How's that for building your self-worth? But the good news is, the one who does give you worth is perfect. He is awesome, he is majestic, and he rocks the universe. And so that's something that you can lean into. So do. Don't allow feelings of inadequacy to arrive, not just through Pinterest, but any other social media. Next, Instagram. Don't you love it when people are somewhere that you can't be? And we've convinced ourselves that all the people out there that know us want to know where we're at and what we're doing. They want to know we're having a good time. They want to know we're stretched out on a beach somewhere in the Bahamas. They want to know that we're on this extended vacation and we're not coming back for months while they're slaving like yard dogs at their job. We think they want to know that. Hear me very carefully. They don't want to know. And so, if you're not healthy in the world of social media, you start experiencing a fear of missing out on places that look better than the place you're in. I got news for you. If I'm in the middle of a bad day at work, this picture from a friend of mine that says, "This is where I am, gosh, wish you could be here." Two things. They're lying. They don't wish you could be there. Because if they did, they'd have invited you to come. They didn't. They're lying. So you have a friend you're connected to who is a liar. Second of all, they have sent you the picture for one reason. To make you jealous. They are causing you to sin. They are not your friend. Third, they've sent it to you because they are showing off a little bit. I don't think they're saying, "Look what God created. I get to be a part of it. Let's all bless God together for this wonderful beach." It's usually about, "Look what I got to see this morning. It's awesome." How often is it that you look at something like that and you go, "Gosh, I wish I could be there." There's something about us that do that, and that's okay. But hey, at the end of the day, if you're not healthy, it doesn't stop there. Because if you're not healthy, then it starts like anything else. It starts leading to jealousy. It starts leading to an anxiety about the fact that someone has it better than you do. And let me give you another piece of spiritual news here. Other people have it better than you do. Not only are you inadequate, which is something to cheer about, but other people are better off than you. Here's the deal. They got more money. They got more stuff. They got more vacation time. They got more friends and they're better looking. Oh, and they got more talent. Other people are better than you. Now, not everybody. Not everybody. But there are other people out there who have some things that you don't have. Hey, but we come back to the moment that I just told you about. But what you do have, everything that you have, is a gift from the Most High God who said, "This is what you're going to have. And I've given it to you. And I've wired you this way. And these are the talents I've given you. These are the gifts that I've given you. And these are the resources that I've given you. You trust and rest in me and be satisfied with that. And let the other things just kind of fall into place." So there's really good news in the fact that there are a lot of people better looking, more talented than you are. But if you are not healthy, not only Instagram, but all the other avenues of social media can create within you a fear that there is something happening in the world that you're not a part of, that someone's getting to experience something that you're not ever going to get to see, and that someone is doing something that you're never going to have the luxury of doing. And you know what? The truth is, that's right. You can be fearful of it, but that's the reality. Some of you have gone to places and seen things and done things that I will never in my lifetime get an opportunity to do, and some of the things you've done I'd like to do. I've had the same opportunities. I've done some things. I've met some people. I've been some places and had the chance to be a part of things that you'll never get to be a part of. And you might like to be a part of them. I got that. But because of the way that we are as family and the way that God has wired us together as family, together we're going to rejoice with those who rejoice. We're going to mourn with those who mourn. And we're going to do life together on this crazy journey that we're on. And that's okay. Social media can be unhealthy if you're not healthy enough to handle it. So don't buy it. Don't worry about it. When you see something like that, just go, "Pretty picture, next." And go on. Reality is, to take that pretty picture, they're going to be paying off that trip for the next 15 years. And then who's crying? See? I mean, there's always a ripple effect to it. Yeah, it is. All right, Twitter. Again, Twitter's an interesting phenomenon. But for people who use Twitter and have tried to condense their ability to communicate into 140 characters, that is incredibly difficult. And for people who spend time on Twitter, one of the things that you don't want to be on Twitter is irrelevant. And so you want to make sure, and that's why Twitter is really great about publishing the things that are trending right now. We talked about hashtags a couple weeks ago. When that hashtag's in front of a word on Twitter, that means that there's somebody out there that's searching for that, or somehow, some way they're connecting to that. So are you trending on Twitter? It's a big deal. We've made fun of it in our Face of Fear DVD this year. I mean, we asked Jale, are you trending on Twitter? I mean, it is part of that whole, you know, what's out there. There is a real fear, though. When I said looking dumb or failing to keep up with the latest hashtags, what that really is, that's a fear of being irrelevant. A fear of just not being in the information stream. Again, I've told you guys before, when you use the phrase, I'm not in the loop, and we try real hard not to use that around here, I've tried to explain to you what the loop is. The loop is an imaginary place that you've created in your own head where there are people exchanging information that you wish you had but you don't have. And when you don't have it, you get angry and anxious and you make statements like, well, I'm not in the loop. Because no one ever says, hey, thanks for keeping me in the loop. Usually you hear, well, I guess I was out of the loop on that one. If you've ever felt like you were out of the loop on that one, ask yourself why. Now, you may not like the answer. But the loop is that imaginary place that you've created in your brain, because the loop doesn't really exist. There's information. And the question is, do you have it? I mean, the illustration that I gave you earlier about how many times we give you announcements really does fit. And for someone to walk away and go, I didn't know about that. Obviously, I'm not in the loop. Well, maybe you didn't connect and figure out what you needed to know. And here's the deal. We all in our lives have a personal responsibility to connect and gather information. Nothing wrong with that. If you're a leader, your responsibility is to give people the information they need to be successful, which may not be all they want to know. But if you're a leader or a person of influence, you have responsibilities. You need to get the information that the people need to be successful. That's your task, your call, your job. It's not to give them everything they want. Usually if we feel like we're not in the loop, it's because there's something out there that we want that we don't have. But the loop is just a place that you created, because everyone's loop is different. Because in my imaginary head, the loop that I want to be in and the information I want to have, sometimes I get, sometimes I don't. But you know what? There's a lot of loops out there that I don't even want to be a part of. I don't want to know. But for other people, that's their loops. It's imaginary. It's not real. It's kind of like social media. It's not really as much about what you know or don't know. It's about what you wanted to know and don't know. And oftentimes what we want to know is not what we need to know, and therefore it's not healthy. If you're not careful, social media can get away from you, and it makes you feel inadequate, and it makes you feel like that there's a whole lot of information out there that you don't have. Truth is, there's a lot of stuff that you don't know. Do you know what you need to know? See, as a follower of Jesus Christ today, right now, you know everything that you need to know to follow Jesus today. Think about that. You know everything you need to know about following Jesus today. You know that when you put your foot on the floor this morning, you were called to live this day to the fullest for God. You were called to talk to God. You were called to connect with Him. You were called to be obedient. You're called to be obedient in every decision you make. Every decision that will unfold over the course of this day, you have a crossroads where you're going to decide, I'm going to do what God wants me to do or I'm not. I'm going to be obedient. Whether it's social media, whether it's how well you listen here this morning, in a few minutes when we start singing songs, you're just going to read words? You're really going to worship? We're coming up on a week of Thanksgiving. Are you going to get stressed over it? Are you going to be thankful for it? You know, we're moving toward the holidays. Are you really going to embrace Christmas? Are you going to make it wild and good and fun and crazy and magical? Or are you going to make it something you're going to gripe your way through? I told our guys in Drive This last week, I said, if you're one of those people that gripes every year about the commercialization of Christmas, do me a favor and let that die. Because it's an old, it's a stale, overused argument. The culture has one view of Christmas, and you can either face Christmas by griping and complaining about how what you don't like that the culture does to it, or you can be the voice that steps into that and says, here's what I like about it, this is why I celebrate, this is what you need to know. But do me a favor, for the kingdom of God, get off the cross, we need the wood, quit griping about the commercialization of Christmas. They were started, if you go back and watch one of my favorite films, A Miracle on 34th Street, of all the isms, that's one of the worst. It's one of the lines in that film, and that's in black and white. If you haven't checked, we live in a full-color, high-def, social media-driven world. That is not new. It's stale and old. And when the people of God say it, it's staler and older. And if we, as the people of God, are anything, we ought to be fresh and new and exciting each day, because each day is a brand new day, full of blessing and possibility and potential to live God, live life for the fullest for God. Don't gripe your way through Christmas. It looks bad. It makes Jesus look bad. And it ought to be a party. How about that? There'll be other people that gripe. There'll be followers who gripe. Some of them will be pretty good followers. Pull them aside. Get in their face. Have a Christmas conversation. Tell them you're going to take them outside the back of the manger and kick their butt if they don't get it right. But do what you got to do to make sure that it becomes a celebration that it needs to become. Don't waste this moment in a culture that desperately needs to see light. Now, I say that, it sounds like a little side street, but it doesn't. It has everything to do with what we're talking about. We have to learn to communicate, and communicate in healthy ways. Keeping up with the latest hashtags, I promise you, through the month of December, there's a lot of Christmas hashtagging going on. You can be a part of the conversation, or you can be left out. And your part of the conversation can be good, and it can be building, and it can be dynamic, and it can bring glory to God. Make sure that's you. I think I got another here. Ah, yes, Facebook. Facebook, and we've been talking about that a lot, is that what happens sometimes in the world of Facebook, depending on your social media personality. One of the things that is psychologically damaging about Facebook is it really does create within us a fear of failure, because we look at the lives or the imaginary lives of others and we see something that we're not. So all those things that we just talked about kind of get wrapped up into this. And if you're not careful, if you're not wise, then what happens is that we convince ourselves, and we've talked about this a number of times now, that Facebook really is made so that we can connect. And I told you, Facebook is not made so you can connect. Facebook is made to make money. That's why Facebook exists. If it didn't, it wouldn't be out there. So, Mr. Zuckerberg doesn't care about you. I know for many he's a hero. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. And he's not coming to spend Christmas with you, or he's not going to spend one of his billions of dollars to buy a Christmas gift for you. He's not. But he likes the fact that you're involved in Facebook. And when we as followers understand the importance of how you face your future, there's a number of things that start happening in our life that really do have real-world application about the way that we honor God and the way that we're going to live our lives out there. So let me throw a couple real quick. We'll fly through these. Left unchecked, Facebook, on the one extreme, on the bad extreme, can alter the biblical understanding of friendship. In other words, Facebook, if you let it get better, the best of you, will start changing the way that you believe friendship needs to happen. Left unchecked, it can get away from you. The swing back is learning to use Facebook to strengthen, support, and encourage others, and let that be that. I'm one of those guys, I can read something, I can read a post, I can read a blog. There's something within me, because being a preacher, I don't know if that's it, or just being wired where, you know, I have this need to be right sometimes. I always have something I want to say back. Pick your spots. Be wise and let some stuff go. Just let it go. And if somebody posts something that, because they're a friend or a friend of a friend, it somehow manages and mingles its way to your timeline somehow, delete it. Get rid of it. It doesn't go away, by the way. We've already talked about that. But as quickly as you can, you know, be gone with it. I talked to a guy this week who had the same scenario where someone had posted something, it ended up on his timeline, and other people were reading it, and it was, I mean, he couldn't get it off of his timeline quick enough, and he couldn't defriend or unlike the person that let it in the back door quick enough. And it's a sad situation because it made him look bad. We don't think about that. We don't think about what we say. We don't think about what we do sometimes. We don't think about the fact that if we're going to be followers, we need to be consistent, and we need to be able to step in and step up and say what needs to be said. It's tough to do. Something you've got to watch. It's something you've got to monitor. Something you've got to stay on top of and make sure that it doesn't control you, and learn to use it to support and strengthen and see it as a ministry, not as a way to build friendships. It's not going to happen. And there's a lot of horror stories we could tell. We won't. We talked last week a little bit about this, but Facebook, if you're not careful, can waste time and waste a lot of time. And again, we looked at that under that addiction part of it. But, you know, Facebook, you can kill time online. You can kill time on Facebook. You can kill time messing with social media. And it's surprising. It sneaks by. I mean, when you're doing something at work, time drags. But, man, you can sit down to spend a few minutes on Facebook, and the next thing you know, an hour is gone. Where did it go? You know, and it can be a colossal waste of time. And, I mean, I got news for you. Some employers do not like you on Facebook on company time. Now, I know that's terrifying for some of you. But, you know, you can sign on to Facebook, and then sometimes, you know, and yeah, you know, fair, that you may forget to sign out. But if you look on the right-hand side of the screen, at least it's right-hand side of my screen, I can see who's on and who's off. Some of you should sign off. And if you're on, and some of the times that I see it going on because my employer said I could sign on, you're working for somebody else. And here's the deal. If someone is paying you wages to be on the clock for them, then guess what you ought not to be doing on the clock for them? You ought not to be on your Facebook page. Hear me carefully. If you are working at a job during those work hours for your job, unless you've got that worked out where you've gotten permission or whatever, but if you're drawing a paycheck from somebody else to do a specific job that does not involve you being on your personal Facebook page, you ought not to be on your personal Facebook page. Work with some excellence. Be that employee. Be that person that steps up and does it well and does it right. And you know what? I know. I had somebody that works for a county entity say, everybody does it. And my response is exactly what you know it's going to be, exactly what many of you as parents have said. I don't care what everybody else does. Do it better. Be better. Facebook can be a colossal waste of time. So in other words, the balance of that, to swing back the other direction, is simply this. And I mean this biblically. Use Facebook. Use social media. And don't let it use you. In other words, you use it for the kingdom. You use it for God's glory. You use it for ministry. You use it to make a difference. You use it to make an impact on others. But don't let it use you. And when you go on Facebook or you walk into the world of social media, walk into the world of social media with the purpose of how can I honor God for these next 10 minutes that I'm going to be checking and looking and posting and doing what I need to do. And then be done and step back. Let me give you another one. Facebook encourages busybodies. One of the beauties of Facebook and social media is that you know what everybody else is doing. Ask yourself the question. One, does that bring you joy because you now know everybody's business? If so, you're a busybody. Facebook is a great, great, great way for people to be busybodies. We've now, because of social media, we just call it being connected. I'm not busy. I'm just connected. Just connected. But Facebook can actually encourage that. I got news for you. I know people who are friends with people on Facebook who in real life, with a lick of sense, would not even talk to that person if they walked into the room. But these are people that are posting on their page or posting on the wall. They got friends of the friends of the friends of the friends of the friends. And it's not uncommon for folks that connect this way to pile on. This is where you have to remember those Facebook friends are not your friends. Facebook encourages busybodying. What I would do is swing it back the other way and simply say, we talked about it, use Facebook in ways that honors God. But here's the deal. Don't let everyone be your friend. Well, it's novel. But don't let everyone be your friend. Remain as private as possible and use Facebook for good, godly pursuits. And that's not the Facebook model, by the way. But to swing back away from that, especially in your personal use, make sure that you just don't let everybody jump in. If you have 100 friend requests that are waiting, pending, great. Don't just say yes to all. See who wants to be your friend and figure out why. And if you don't know them, don't let them. You say, but they might end up being a good friend. No, they won't. They won't. And you're inviting someone into your world that will also have connection now with all of your other friends who may post or say things or do things in an online arena that doesn't honor God. And whose fault is that? It's yours. It's yours. Now, in saying that, then that immediately goes, well, but if we're going to do such good with it, don't we want to let everybody in? No, you don't. This is where we come back to, how do you honor God? How do you honor others? And how can you bless them in a way that really does put the focus on the Father as you live your life out and flesh your life out in healthy ways for Jesus? How do you do that? Well, you have to be responsible then. And you have to put the regulators on what it is that you do online. Now, we could do more. I could talk to you about how Facebook can redefine biblical community, how it is too public. I could give you the horror stories of that, how it puts the focus on you, how it makes you a consumer in a day where we need producers. I mean, I could say all of those things and give you the swing back, but I won't. You get the idea. We've spent 4 weeks talking about it, so let's go back to where we started today. Let me encourage you to take the next few days, and unless it is a business kind of thing where, you've got some things that have got to be tied up, without any warning, disappear. Just drop out. No social media. Thursday, reemerge with the celebration of Thanksgiving and make sure it's all praise and thanks and blessings and just all those kinds of things. And then Friday, step back into your social media world, remembering the things that we've talked about for the last 4 weeks, and see if it doesn't make a difference, and see if it doesn't change the way that some people might even react to you. It does make a difference. It matters. And it matters for eternity, because it's a part of your walk with Christ. And we're out of time, so let's pray. We'll be done. God, we thank you that you are a God, as we prayed earlier, a God of all. And that means even our online social media lives. Lord, I pray that you would create within us a desire, a willingness to do things well, to do things with a dignity, and do things with a style that really does bring glory to you. We've used the phrase honor God a lot, and if we could remember it, it does change the way that we interact with one another in every area of life. Teach us those lessons today. Remind us of that as this week passes. You've given us much to be thankful for. Help us to be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.